Book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go ahead and take a vote. How many people in here are hot? How many people are okay? Man, you okays are just... How many people are cold? Sorry, we just... You guys don't get a vote. Bring a blanket. Amen? Amen. Well, the majority's okay, so I guess we'll stick with it here. Yeah. Maybe just a tad, somebody. Or the preacher might pass out. Get out early, go home and eat, right? I don't know if Brother Ross or Brother Adam, if you can help me upstairs, but maybe touch it down to about 71 or 70. Amen. All right. Isaiah chapter 9, very familiar passage. Goes right along with the special the choir sang this morning. Let's look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it or to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. God, we do ask this morning that you would just lead us and direct us in this particular scripture, that we would again see just how wonderful and great you are. And I pray this morning especially that those who come out would see just again the wonderful blessings you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this is a familiar passage, and I hopefully will get the opportunity to preach a couple more times on this passage over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And today, we're going to just, the title of the message is, His Name is Wonderful. His Name is Wonderful. The passage says there, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And again, we understand and know that Jesus Christ, this is speaking of Jesus Christ, and our Lord and Savior was born of a woman. Born of Mary, a virgin. Unto us a son is given. We understand the Bible says that he was the only begotten Son of God. Again, understanding this. And the Bible says, his name shall be called Wonderful. Again, it doesn't say his name is Wonderful. It says his name shall be called Wonderful. That's today. Today, his name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. Christ is called Wonderful because of what He is and who He is. He is Wonderful. If you were to try to explain the word Wonderful and illustrate it by using a someone else, anyone else would fall short of the term. But our Savior doesn't just meet the term Wonderful. He over the term Wonderful. Amen. He's above Wonderful. He's beyond Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. The term Wonderful, the word Wonderful, translated in our King James Bible, that the same Hebrew word and Greek word is translated 2 or 3 other different ways. In other words, the translators would take one Greek word or one Hebrew word and they might use it a synonym in various other places of the same word. And I'll illustrate it this way. The word Wonderful means marvelous, miraculous. My wife has given me... No, I'm just kidding. She's not here. She's sick. Y'all remember her in prayer. And the term there, look back with, again, look at the term. And by the song that was sung this morning, they use the same words. The term Wonderful, the word Wonderful, means miraculous or marvelous. Miraculous or marvelous. Christ is the marvel of marvels. Christ is the miracle of miracles. Christ is the wonder of wonders. That wonderful, miraculous, marvelous. The word wonderful also means separated or distinguished. Separated or distinguished. Our Lord is separated. That word separated means holy. He is separate from all that is unclean and all that is unrighteous. He is holy, separated. He is distinguished. Let me tell you this morning, our Lord and Savior is unique. He is distinguished. He's totally separate from anything else. It is amazing. His name is Wonderful. He's above all living creatures or angels, set apart, set above, holy. The Bible says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips," talking of Jesus Christ. The Bible says He's the chief among 10,000 and altogether lovely. That's the Lord, our Savior, that wonderful Savior. I remember that little chorus. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Listen, bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. His name is wonderful. He is the wonder of wonders. He is the miracle of all miracles. He's the marvel of marvels. That's the Lord that we serve. His name is wonderful. He is wonderful for what He's done in the past. Listen this morning, the Bible describes our Savior as being eternal existence. In other words, He's always existed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says, let us make man in our image. Listen, deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always been. He is eternal in His existence. The Bible says He's begotten of the Father before the worlds were framed. By the way, the word begotten is not the same as the word made. Jesus Christ was not made. He was begotten. Co-equal and co-eternal with our God, Jehovah God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, John the Apostle saying that Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Colossians also says this, that Christ made the worlds. Amen. Hebrews also says the same thing, that Christ was involved, that Christ created the world simply by His voice. Let there be light. That was the Lord. Co-existent with God, co-eternal. And the Bible says there in John 1:1, and it says there, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that God became flesh. I'll never forget Dr. Barber quoting this. He says this, he says, He's always has been God. He always shall be God. God never changes. God never diminishes. He will always be the same. Jesus Christ was God in the world above. He was God on the plains of Mamre as He spoke to Abraham. He was God on Mount Sinai when He gave the commandments and the law of Moses. He was God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was God in the manger at Bethlehem. He was God in the carpenter's shop at Nazareth. He was God in the boat at Lake Galilee. He was God in the temple at Jerusalem. He was God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was God in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." He was God on the cross as He cried out, "It is finished." He was God in the tomb of Joseph as He lay still in death. He was God on the morning of the resurrection as He broke asunder the bands of death and came out triumphantly over death and grave and the hell. He was God on the Mount of Olives as His feet left that sacred spot. He was God in the clouds of the ascension as He went away. He is God at the right hand of the throne now. And He will be God coming again as He comes in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all who know not Him and who have never trusted Him as Savior. He is God. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is eternal existent. He is wonderful not only in His eternal existence, He is wonderful in His incarnation. You hear that term a lot at Christmas, incarnation. The word incarnation simply means that God became flesh. Pretty simple. God became flesh.
Christ the Eternal One became flesh. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You can't say it any plainer than that. Paul says to young Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You say, preacher, you're saying that the God of the universe became flesh? That Jesus Christ was indeed God? Absolutely. You say, well, I can't understand that. Well, neither can I. But I know the Bible teaches it. I know the Bible tells us so. And so therefore, that settles it. Amen? Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ is God. Again, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and these three are one. The God who created the world became flesh. The God who created the world became flesh and was born in a feeding trough. A feeding trough that horses and cows and pigs and whatever else eat out of. Our God, the God who created all things, was born in a feeding trough. In a little hollowed out cave. In the little city of Bethlehem. The God who made the trees, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Boy, if that's not wonderful, I don't know what is. He is wonderful. Born of a virgin. Jesus Christ is just as much God as though He'd never been man, and just as much man as though He'd never been God. He is the God-man. I've used this term many times, and some of our church has it memorized. But what makes Christ uniquely qualified to be our Savior? Five things. The five essential aspects of the gospel are that He was God. That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? No one in here is God. That makes Jesus Christ unique. He was God. He was man. What's the third one, class? Sinless. Died, buried, and rose again. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was the God-man. He is wonderful in His eternal existence. He is wonderful in His incarnation. And He's wonderful, or amazing, in His humiliation. As we think about the God of the universe humbling Himself. Psalm 8 verse 5 says He was made a little lower than the angels. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Our God became man. He humbled Himself. Became a man. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, I do believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the King of Heaven, and yet He was poor, despised, persecuted, and slandered by men. While I believe it, I cannot understand it. Not only was He wonderful in His incarnation, not only was He wonderful in His eternal existence, not only is He wonderful in that He allowed Himself to be humiliated. Imagine the God of the universe being slapped by a Roman soldier. But He's wonderful in His death. The God of the universe was crucified on the cross of Calvary. The God who created the sun, moon, and stars was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because of His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The One who is Lord of all died for us. The One who framed the worlds by His voice died for us. The One who is from everlasting to everlasting. The One in whom our very breath and lives hang in the balance. The One who created us, yet He died to save us. You don't mind if I think about songs this morning? The old song says, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful,
Wonderful He is to me. Love beyond all human comprehension. We can't understand that type of love. That wonderful love. That matchless grace. What love He took my place. The love of our Lord Jesus. And that the God of the universe died to save me, to save you from our sins. He is wonderful in His death. He's wonderful in His resurrection. Think about, again, Mary and those women as they approach that tomb there on Sunday morning. As they approach the tomb, they noticed the stone was rolled away. They became concerned. And then angels appeared. And they said to those ladies, He's not here. He's risen. Amen? He's not here. He's risen. He's no longer in this tomb. He's no longer wrapped up in those grave clothes. He's risen. He's not here. They go back to tell the others, and Peter and John start running. John must have been a little younger. He pulled out ahead, got there. Sure enough, the tomb is empty. Sure enough, the tomb is empty. The grave clothes are wrapped there, still there. The tomb is empty. He is not here. He's risen from the dead. And even then, they, in their minds, maybe the Roman soldiers took Him away. Or something else happened. But three days later, or that day, while in that upper room, Jesus appeared before them. Amen? He is risen from the dead. Up from the grave He arose, a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose up a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with the saints to reign. He is wonderful in His death. Yes, He died on Calvary. Yes, He died the death of a thief and a murderer. Yes, He was humiliated for us. Yes, He was the God of the universe. Yes, He was God of the universe that became flesh. But that same God of the universe who created all things by His voice, that God who created the trees and the sun, the moon, the stars, that God humbled Himself, became a man, and then wonder of wonders, He went to the cross that He might die for our sins. But because He had no sins of His own, on the third day, He rose from the dead, a victor over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, wonder of wonders it is. We have a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Isaiah 9, verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful. He's not only wonderful for what He's done in the past, He's wonderful for what He's doing right now. Listen, right now He's transforming lives. Jesus said He came to give us life and to give us life more abundant. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've never trusted Him and Him alone as your personal Savior, I pray today you'd trust in Him. He'll take your life and transform it. You say, preacher, I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to be a good person. And just as soon as I get this stuff out of my life, I'll walk the aisle and I'll accept Jesus as my Savior. Just as soon as I quit drinking, or just as soon as I quit gambling, or just as soon as I quit smoking, or just as soon as I quit cussing, or just as soon as I quit hitting, whatever it may be. No, listen, you don't quit those things to get saved. You come get saved and Christ will help you quit them. In other words, I know I used very much outward sins, but Christ, you don't turn over a new leaf to get saved. You get saved and Christ will live, abide in you. He'll turn over the leaf, right? You can't turn it over. Salvation is a free gift given freely to you and to me because of what He's done for us in the past, because of our wonderful Savior. You can have salvation today. Your sins can be forgiven forever, and you can have a home in heaven. Christian, He's wonderful for salvation, isn't He? Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? He's wonderful, isn't He? I don't know what it would be. I don't know where I'd be. My family and you guys, this is awesome. We had a good time last night, didn't we? We had more fun than the guy at the bar last night. And we were able to wake up this morning, didn't have a headache, right? Amen? As Christians, we have a great time. Sometimes they push the envelope a little bit, but He might or might not have a job tomorrow. We don't know yet. We're still praying about it. Still praying. Listen, we have a great time as Christians. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy everything there is about being a Christian. I enjoy everything there is about having a church family. What more do you want? I love Brother Bill Griffin up in our deacon's prayer meetings on Sunday morning. And nearly every Sunday morning, he's so positive. Preacher, it's such a wonderful thing to be a part of this church. It's such a thing. It's so great to be a part of a church family who will help and get behind you and that'll just wrap their arms around you. And he uses other terms, but just what a great church we have. And I would hate that somebody miss out on this. Amen? What a great place to come and to learn how to raise your kids from the Word of God and not from some psychological babble out of some psychology book. What a great place to come and learn how to control your finances and how to keep track of those, not from some book or radio station, but out of the Bible. What a great place to come and learn how to live life that has purpose and meaning instead of some monotonous, routine, dreaded life that a lot of people live. I'm glad I live a life that is abundant. Oh, it's not always perfect, but you know what? He's wonderful not only in giving us an abundant life, but when things aren't going right, He's wonderful in helping us through those trials. He's wonderful in helping us and giving us, the Bible says, that peace that passes all understanding. He's wonderful in giving us strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when I don't feel like I can go forward, when I don't feel like I can take another step, He picks me up and carries me. That's the life I live now. That's how wonderful He is now. And then lastly, not only is He wonderful what He's done in the past, man, we've already described that. Not only is He wonderful what He's doing right now and giving us a life, an abundant life, but He's wonderful for what He's going to do in the future. Amen. Oh, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that they live and die, I can't quote the whole thing, but he goes on to say that the trumpet's going to sound, doo-doo-doo, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Comfort one another with these words. Paul says, listen, Jesus is coming back. The God of the universe is coming back. He's going to take His children home to be with Him. That home that He's prepared for us, according to John chapter 14, the Bible says, John says, Jesus said Himself, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming again. He has prepared for us a mansion. He's prepared for us a home. And we're just waiting for the trumpet to sound that we can rise from here and meet Him in the air and to live forever, all eternity with Him in heaven. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Yes, I believe it. I believe it with everything that I have. All my being, I believe it. You will say, why do you believe it? I believe it because my Savior is wonderful. My Savior that I serve is wonderful. The God of the universe, born in a feeding trough. The God of the universe, born of a virgin, born of a woman, made flesh, that He might live a perfect life. And then He would allow those Roman soldiers to put Him on that cross, not for crimes He has done, but for my sins. Laid Himself down. He said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. You see, they didn't have to fight Him to put Him on the cross. He laid Himself down on that cross. And there He died for my sins, that I might have eternal life. Now He's given me a life, if I'll accept Him as Savior. Now He gives me a life that's worth living. Now He gives me a life of strength and peace and comfort. Now He gives me a life with the Holy Spirit, who's called alongside to be my helper and guide. That's the life I now live. Chance did a great job of singing about it. But I'm looking forward not only to what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to the trumpet sounding. He is wonderful for what He's going to do in the future. What a wonderful Savior we have. He is wonderful. The wonderful grace of Jesus. I hope you see this morning I have done a very poor job of describing just how wonderful He is. I wish I could go to everyone and say, listen, you need this. You need the Lord. It will totally change your life because He's in the life-changing business. Why? You say, why? David asked the same question. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him? Why? Because He loves us. In fact, the Bible says He loved us so much, He gave His Son for us. He loves you, He loves me. Spurgeon said, I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Because the Bible says it. Amen. Let's all stand. Head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. As we stand, head bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Think about our wonderful Savior. He's wonderful for what He's done in the past. He's wonderful for what He's doing right now for us, giving us a life, a purpose and meaning. He's wonderful for what He's going to do in the future. He's coming again. His name truly is wonderful. What a wonderful Savior we have. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know if I was to die today, without a shadow of a doubt, if I was to die right now when I leave this building, I know I'd have a home in heaven. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? Just as a testimony. You say, I know without a doubt, if I was to die today, I'd have a home in heaven. Amen. Appreciate that testimony. With head bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment. No one looking around. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't do this very often. You may put your hands down. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I've heard you preach about the wonderful Savior. Preacher, I'm not sure if I was to die today, I'd have a home in heaven. I'm not sure today if that trumpet was to sound, I'm not sure today I would be lifted up to be with the Lord. If you're here like that, would you let me pray for you? Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I see that hand. Let me put it down. Anyone else? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. There's been one. Anyone else? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Once you raise your hand, let me pray for you. I won't come to you or embarrass you. I'm not going to track you down. I just want to pray for you. Anyone else? Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are a wonderful, wonderful Savior to us. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would direct and lead us in this particular invitation. We pray for those who raise their hand. Lord, if they're not saved, I pray that give them courage to walk out of their chair this morning, walk down the aisle, and accept you as Savior. Lord, we pray for those this morning who may be going through a trial or going through some tragedy in their own lives. I pray, Lord, that you would just give them that strength and peace that only you can give. Lord, we thank you that you're wonderful. In Jesus' name.